Thanks for tuning in to the Arts Edge. On tonight's show, I will be featuring some of the best of the best of radiotales over the years.
Tune in to the Arts Edge.
And without further ado,
and be inspired.
Let's go to our first radio tale of this evening.
Radio tale number 2. You are a song.
She was morning and I was nighttime. I one day woke up to find her lying beside my bed. I softly said, come take me, for I've been lonely in need of someone, as though I've done someone wrong somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't know where. Come lately, the sun, I am the moon, you are the words, I am the tune.
I don't know what makes any of us who we are. For the most part, we are a mathematical equation gone right, a science experiment in the making, a creative endeavor, a work in progress.
As Neil Diamond sings of in Play Me, we are individual, we are separate, and yet we are collective. We are, at the same time, both sides of the coin.
As far back as I can remember, I have been exploring this question, first as a preschool child who was engaged in free play and stretching the imagination, then as a grade school student. The first song I remember learning in school was Punchinello, a song that explored the possibilities of imagination within movement and voice. As a group of children form a circle around one child who stands in the center and takes on the characteristics of Punchinello. That child then makes those movements and sounds to personify the character that they have chosen, and the other children will imitate that child.
We can do it too.
I also recall songs that helped me to identify with my body. I remember grade school teachers using music to teach the parts of the body, as well as language that incorporated such concepts as dance and embodiment, drama and performance, as well as science and metacognition. One such song that I take from my childhood is the traditional song, The Hokey Pokey, which was made famous in the 1950s by American bandleader Ray Anthony.
You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in and you shake it all about.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
Left foot.
You put your left foot in, you put your left foot out, you put your left foot in and you shake it all about.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around.
While both of these songs are one way for children to learn about their bodies while also being silly and having fun, as children grow up with these songs, they come to realize how their bodies are much more than the sum of all its parts and functions. Our body is, in fact, a vessel of knowledge and a way of knowing, something Helene Siu speaks of in The Laugh of the Medusa. Censor the body and you censor the breath and speech at the same time. And she advises us to write yourself, for the body must be heard. Similarly, SFU professor Celeste Snober, who notes that there is an art to listening to our lives for research, says that it is not only an outward endeavor, but that it travels in the realm of researching our own lives, knowledge, passions, and practice. Snober also goes on to suggest ways in which we can listen. It is not just an activity of the mind, but everything within us, mind, heart, body, soul, imagination, and cognition. Or one could say it is fingers, toes, pelvis, hips, neck, breath, and shoulders. Listening to the body is one of the greatest gifts we are given as humans. Listening is hearing the bold proclamations and subtle sensations. Writing the body can also be an opportunity to use the arts to speak out against injustice and to stand up for something you believe in. This is something that Lady Gaga achieves through her recording of the song Till It Happens to You, a song that she co-wrote with Diane Warren for the 2015 documentary The Hunting Ground, a film that addresses campus rape in the United States.
You tell me it gets better in time. You say I pull myself together, pull it together, you'll be fine. Tell me what the hell do you know, what do you know? Tell me how the hell could you know? Hold your head up and be strong. 'Cause when you fall, you gotta get up. You gotta get up.
In another example, Canadian songwriter Melanie Safka uses her music to speak out against the tumultuous relationship between the advertising industry and the music industry. This is illustrated in her song, Look What They've Done to My Song, Ma. The song was originally written and recorded by Safka in 1970. And the song was later recorded by Miley Cyrus in her 2015 Backyard Sessions. Both versions present the lyrics in a playful, oh well, sort of way.
Look what they done to my song.
Makes any of us us? What content exemplifies our gifts as individuals? What frame best fits the story we have to tell, the song we yearn to sing, the identity we long to unfold? In 2001, Colombian singer Shakira championed people in recognition of them as unique beings, illustrated through the metaphor in her hit single, Underneath Your Clothes.
Your song, written by the hands of God. Don't get me wrong, 'cause this might sound to you a bit odd, but you own the place where all my thoughts go hiding. Right under your clothes is where.
While we are, as Shakira suggests, unique just as we are similar, a song, and possess our own song, an imprint on the world, a signature, if you will. This is something Cowboy Junkie's frontwoman Margot Timmons sings of in Musical Key, a song off the band's 1996 album Lay It Down, a song that acknowledges her mother and her father, and how they brought music to her life. Regardless of the art that we bring forward, how we contribute will determine how and if we are heard. American dancer and choreographer Martha Graham, whose technique reshaped American dance and is still taught worldwide, suggests that great dancers are not great because of their technique, but because of their passion. That said, regardless of whether our gifts are woven into works of art that embody words, film, music, dance, canvas, or art books, stage, or song, it is our intention and enthusiasm behind the work that will make it great. While a skill is a technique that we learn, and a talent is something we are born with, it is only through hard work, intention and passion that we bring these two together and dream it into being. If we believe, as many suggest, that a talent is a gift from God, a calling, a responsibility that is specific to us, this would suggest that if we don't use our gifts, they will, as noted above, never exist again. Being a powerful thought to consider, it indicates just how unique each of us really is. As previous radio tales have indicated, for the duration of my grad school years and the writing and recording of radio tales throughout, I have often reflected upon my mother's lived experience. This process has not only shone a light on my mother's heartache, but as well on her tenacity to becoming happy. As a result, despite the difficult parts of her life, the breakdowns, the hospitalizations, the many bouts of shock treatment and their horrible detrimental effects, in the end, my mother just wanted to be happy. Perhaps that is why she loved the arts so much, music, films, stories of plight and triumph. These were spaces of hope where she could lose herself. If I could sum up my mother's life in one lyrical motto, it might be the Carpenters' 1973 hit single, Sing. Although this song was originally written in 1971 by Joe Raposo for the children's television show Sesame Street, it gained notoriety when recorded by the said brother and sister duet, reaching number 3 on the 1973 Billboard Hot 100. In many respects, my mother kept it simple. Perhaps that is why, despite the hardships of her life, that she lived as long as she did, because, after all, she always managed to sing her song.
Sing, sing a song, sing out loud, sing out strong, sing of good things, not bad, sing of happy, not sad. Simple to life.
Did you know that cannabis was recently legalized in Canada? With this new legalization, the laws surrounding cannabis use and driving have also been affected. You have probably heard that cannabis use does not affect your driving, but that statement is a myth. Some of the effects cannabis has on a person driving are reduced alertness, altered perception of time and distance, and it also results in reduced ability to react to unexpected events on the road. We at Mothers Against Drunk Driving are here to keep impaired drivers off of the roads and to keep the people of our community safe.
Go to mad.ca to learn more about driving under the influence.
Radio Tale number 7, Riding the Prairie Airwaves. As my family drove across the barren prairie flatlands en route to a family reunion, the music of the 70s carried us across the miles. Karen Carpenter sang into the night air, lulling us kids to sleep in the back of the station wagon.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone.
Although the ride was long, the music kept me distracted and deterred me from being impatient to get to our destination. With the sun beating down through the windshield and the dusty prairie winds blowing through my hair, the winds carried the sound of the whistling air, the smells of manure, and the warmth of the day soaking into my sunburnt face. Meanwhile, Helen Reddy sang of good old Ruby Redress, talking to herself, something my 11-year-old self could relate to. After camping for the night, at sunrise we packed up for the long day ahead. At the Husky station, Dad filled up with gas and topped up the cooler with frozen ice. Mom and us kids went into the store to stock up on sundries, snacks, soda pop, and of course, Rothman's cigarettes for Mom and Dad. As Dad merged onto Highway 1 with Judge Strunk singing A Daisy a Day, Mom sang along. Waving her hands to keep with the beat of the music, my mom turned to sing to us kids as we ripped open our bags of Old Dutch potato chips.
He remembers the first time he met her. He remembers the first thing she said. He remembers the first time he held her, and the night that she came to his bed. He remembers her sweet way of singing, honey, has something gone wrong? He remembers the fun and the teasing, and the reason he wrote her this song. I'll give you a daisy a day, dear. I'll give you a daisy a day. I'll love you until the rivers run still.
The day wore on as we tired from the heat, driving for long stretches with the prairie sun beating down. The inside of the car became a sauna so that the vinyl seats stuck to our bare skin and the cigarette smoke filled the confined space of the station wagon. Nearing the Alberta border en route for Edmonton, the car's engine began to overheat. Nothing a needle and thread couldn't fix, I'm sure. Before too long, however, we exited the freeway to small-town B.C. Revelstoke, population 700. Having driven for 2 days, pulling into every two-bit town every few hundred miles or so to fill up for gas and to stop for a bathroom break and a bite to eat, we were stranded as Dad waited for an engine part to arrive so his car could be repaired. With dusk setting in, we pitched our tent and camped for the night.
As I'm being followed by a moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land, oh, if I ever lose my hands, oh, yeah.
Listening as the pace slowed down and the crickets came together in harmony, I knew Dad's home was near. Although he didn't say it, I knew Dad prided himself in bringing his family back to the land where he was raised, back to the farm he once toiled, back to the people he called family. The smell of the cows filled the air, as did the arrival of much-anticipated kinfolk. When we arrived at the farm, my dad's younger brother came out of the house, and my cousins came running from the fields, inviting us to join them in exploring the farm. I looked up into the night sky, alit with stars, and realized that this must be the big open sky I'd heard so much about. I wondered why they had more sky than we did in the city. With crickets singing in the background and the adults drinking prairie-brewed ale and homemade cider on the back deck, we kids traipsed around the farmyard. As the night got long, my dad's sister-in-law pulled out her guitar to sing what I would come to recognize as one of the many songs in her repertoire.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. There to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the lane I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherry. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house.
Spending time on the prairies was strange for me. My narrow city thinking left me naive to the world and the realities of the country, although I would later become aware that my ignorance left me arrogant. As we drove across the prairies, I wondered about the prairie folks we were going to see. They lived in towns that played movies that we'd seen in the city the year before. This seemed backward to me. I thought of their small-town street signs and sensibilities. I thought of them living in farmhouses that had no flush toilets, on acreage that was littered with cattle, livestock, chickens, pigs, and tattered and broken-down barns from the days when my father was a boy on the prairies. While my thinking would change, my immediate thoughts were crass. I wouldn't say I looked down on these country folk, but in my young mind, I thought they hadn't caught up with the city cousins. They seemed two steps behind us, like their clothes were different, and they seemed less fancy compared to those of us from the city. I thought they were out of date with the times. This thinking would change, though. After 2 weeks on the farm, I found myself looking at the country folk differently. I liked them. I could see that they had more than us. They had the country as their home. They also had the city for when they wanted it, and always had the country to go back to. Unlike us, they had space to move around in, and they had the music, my aunt's guitar, and they had the crickets singing in the background. Camping on the farm changed me. There was much to take away from my family's road trip to the Canadian prairies that summer. Camping on the land, eating peanut butter sandwiches in my cousin's broken-down milk truck at dusk, watching my brother and cousin chase arthritic pigs around the farmyard, drinking baby duck at the family reunion hall, and seeing my Uncle Ray and recalling something strange and creepy, something I couldn't place. Eating macaroni salad, marshmallow salad, jello salad, Rice Krispie squares, matrimonial cake, Nanaimo bars, and tomato soup cake. Mmm, I love that tomato soup cake. Sitting around the fire each night, eating burgers, hot dogs, and watching my dad chew on pig's feet. Ugh. As my family made our way home, back the way we came, across the prairie flatlands, through Albertan wheat fields, soaking up the rays of radium hot springs, driving along the cityscapes into the sound of buzzing lights, I knew that home was near. The smell of manure had dissipated. John Denver was nowhere in sight, but his music lingered on.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.
Crawling into bed that night, reflective of my country cousins, and knowing that we weren't so different, the twang of Neil Young danced along the horizon, with its shadows dancing on my bedroom wall. City and country aside, I was grateful to have met my cousins. Maybe we city dwellers were more up to date in regards to movies and fashion. But if truth be told, we were the ones who were backwards. We were the ones who were behind the times. Too often, city folks were too busy and too distracted to connect with ourselves, our family, and our ancestral roots. Not to mention, too busy to make marshmallow salad. After all, it takes prairie folks to make a really good marshmallow salad. I should know. My mother was a prairie girl.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Radio Tale, number 4. Downtown, The Great Escape.